Welcome to the Rush Hour on a Wednesday, a beautiful Wednesday in this beautiful city of ours. I say hello to Greg Lord. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, Andrew.
Bernie Vince, it's a big hello to you.
G'day, Jars.
And welcome back, Emma G, for the 11th time.
Thanks,
good
Jars.
To see you. Though.
Welcome back again.
Welcome back.
How many times are we welcoming you back in the last couple of months?
I was busy educating the future generation, so I'm back now.
Can you educate us?
Yeah. I do try.
Where do we sit with that?
We're not a future generation.
We're not, are we?
Oh, no, we're just...
No, you're the
what we are is
generation.
A global show that is a much-loved show all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can text us.
Yep. 04-888-5...
1047.
You can call us.
Yeah, nearly got that. 1-333-53.
Mm-hmm. And you can pop in and say hello.
And you can email us.
You can pop in and say hello, can you?
70 Franklin Street. Come and say g'day.
You can on Friday when we're at the Parra Hills Community
yes.
Club.
Nice hook.
There's the educator.
My old mate, Camo Taylor, for the Parra Hills Community Club will be there, Bridge Road.
What was your first email address username?
I can't recall it. I don't think I have one.
Yes, you would have.
Hey, we've got Jay Clark joining us, and he'll give us a bit of an update on Jordan D. Goey.
Mm. A bit happening there. Still,
it is a bit happening.
Hasn't been to training, Jase.
No, they can't find
hasn't
him.
Hasn't been to the club.
Oh, I did say last night, I'm not sure he'll play this weekend. Mm. You go, I mean, no, he will, but it's Lord, looking
he's,
like
no, he's not now.
Not,
I think
no.
you might be right there, Gregory. Mm. Yeah. Plenty to get to. We've got to discuss a couple of issues amongst the three of us and the family again.
Got something I need to
You
clear
both
up.
Played golf today. How'd we track today, Gregory? Down at...
Kuyonga? It's just Kuyonga, mate. Don't bother with the stutter. Oh, I had 36 points today.
Oh, what
but I had a bit of a mid-round explosion that sort of cost me a bit.
But yeah, like, 36 points
like
and you still struggle.
The tough units do, they bounce back.
Oh,
and that's 36
is unbelievable.
That's a great innings.
Well, it's great. I'd be happy with 36. I'm playing like a
still whinging. And what about you, Bern? Oh, you played at Glenelg?
I'm just terrible at
our
golf.
Club?
You don't play enough. I'll have a chat with Abs.
I'm not sure I'm... A golfer.
Hey, you are a golfer. You're a damn good golfer.
I had 31 points and wiped 5 holes.
Yeah, but Bern, you're very obscene in full flight.
Well, let's get to the range, Bern. Give you a little lesson.
Yeah, well, let's take his offer up.
A shooting range.
All right, G, what else we got?
I'm very excited for the $1,000 minute this afternoon because Jars has written the question.
Yes, I have.
Is that why I gave all the spelling mistakes?
I think it's going to go off. I think it's going to go off today.
So again?
Very easy, Jars.
Is it an easy
frog in a sock?
What's 6 times 6?
Yes.
That's one of the questions.
You've given her...
She's
given
her
away already, G.
See, you got to be careful. You can't give that information out.
What is it?
36.
That's just a given.
What is it?
36.
Oh, no, change that.
Hey, where's the text? Do you have cricket news?
Don't worry about it.
Seriously.
Talk about the opener. He's just
right in front of you.
He thought about that right at the end when the music came on.
Come on, Dove.
Bernie blew your jazz for the rush hour.
Get the peacocks back.
Bern and family, this Jordan De Goey thing is an absolute mess.
What is?
Absolute mess. He gave out a second statement that practically contradicts what he said in his personal Instagram post, Jordan De Goey.
Well, his initial one.
It's a complete shambles.
Well, his initial one was basically back off and stop following me. Because I'll read some of it. I want to openly address the relentless pursuit and persecution of athletes by the media to create an uneducated, biased, and ill-informed narrative that has gone too far. That's what he said.
He
was angry and annoyed,
yes.
And then he's quickly taken that back, and
he's
basically apologised for all his actions and how bad a look it is. But there's an interesting article on page 15 of the Advertiser today, and the headline is Fury Over De Goey Diagnosis Excuse. Mm. So he's come out and said in the second statement that he has ADHD. So, and that's part of the reason what makes him behave this way. So I don't know. Is that a reason to – I know people with ADHD and they manage it. Okay. Is
he... Well, we heard Loz this morning on Brekkie.
Yeah, that was
ruined
great.
It,
that was
she
great.
Opened up, and so, it was beautiful that she opened up.
And they manage it fine. Is this? So what I'm saying is this: is this an excuse from Jordan De Goey to get him out of what he's done, or is he actually apologising? Because he apologises and then blames, you know,
the
ADHD.
On.
So he's, you know, it's what people. That's what has made people angry. So. In the article, Full Stop Australia Chief Executive, Hayley Foster. And Full Stop Australia is G?
It's a counselling and training service that supports people impacted by domestic violence, I believe.
Yep. So yep. She said that ADHD does not cause disrespectful attitudes towards women and girls, which is fair enough.
Absolutely.
And also, she reckons it's a big opportunity missed by the Collingwood Football Club to make a stance against this sort of behaviour against women. So, and she's got a point, but then you've got to be careful of, you know, I don't have ADHD, but and I don't know what it feels like. So we don't know what that is either.
But Loz and that lady that you just quoted there, they both said, Loz said this morning as well, that does not excuse the behaviour. And I think that's what everyone is concerned about, is that he's got history. So that happened in New York about, what was that, 6 months ago, whatever it was.
It was the end of last season, wasn't it? So, but the court case went on for a fair while.
Yeah, so I think it's the whole respect around the way he sort of treats women. So I think that's the major concern. And then the mental health thing, I think where everyone's getting a little bit peeved is that some people feel like a lot of people hide behind the mental health card.
Yeah.
Which in turn, you know, there's some people out there. I mean, mental health, we know, is a very serious.
It's a real thing. Yeah, it's a serious thing.
And there are a lot of people out there that are struggling with their mental health. And then when they maybe feel like people are using it as an excuse or I think that's where everyone's getting a little bit
and 25,000.
Well, it's suspended fine. Yeah, so it actually counts for nothing.
What kind of message is that?
Well, it might as well be $1 million suspended. $1 million suspended. Because he doesn't actually get fined. So
where does he go next? Because we're going to catch up with Jay Clark, and we're led to believe that he still hasn't fronted to a football training.
He can't, apparently.
He won't play this weekend.
No, he can't play now.
So where's he gone?
Well, he's just bunkering down because he doesn't know how to handle it. And it would be tough. Like, he's allowed to do what he wants in his own time. It's just that the girl in the video, if that wasn't there and he was just, you know, intoxicated on his four-day break, I bet you most other players were intoxicated on their four-day break. But, I mean, the article goes on, you can read it yourself, but to blame ADHD diagnosis is an insult to people with ADHD, she says. So it's,
very strong.
It's like he sort of apologises and then goes down that path. So it's like,
it's not a true apology.
It's not really. Yeah. He sort of just, you know, sweeps it away with the excuse. So that's why people are angry over it. He would have been better off just putting his hand up.
Well, he needs to front the media. He needs to front with his manager and the CEO of the Collingwood Football Club, his senior coach.
That's the point as well, Jars. Who's looking after him? Well, because that dribble that he came out with while he was away was like, that just completely missed.
Dribble,
That missed the whole.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a big misread of the situation.
And he's done a huge U-turn since.
And I don't think any AFL club will be looking at him in the future. Do you, Byrne?
Oh, I think they will, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. No, he's just made a poor decision and he's made a few.
Well, he's made a lot.
Yeah, but he hasn't.
Well, Byrne, he's made
anyone.
A lot, mate.
Yeah,
and we all make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. But again, it's a volatile industry.
I think it's time for him to get out of Collingwood. I think he needs a fresh start.
Yeah, that's a good
fresh
call.
People
doesn't
in charge
hurt.
Of him.
Yeah, that's true.
Fresh coach, fresh hierarchy,
better people around
fresh
him.
Fresh leadership group, fresh captain.
Yeah.
And when you go to a new club,
well, he's got a fresh coach. To be fair,
he has. That's fair.
He's
but
a good
he's in
coach.
The same environment. Very good, McRae. But when you go to a different club, you have to impress when you first, no matter where you are. You could be a Brownlow, you could be Dangerfield going to Geelong.
Yeah.
You could be the 35th person on a list that gets traded somewhere else. When you rock up, and I did it, you've got to impress when you get there. So it kicks you into gear. You want to train hard, you want to rock up, you want to, you know, show them that you can play. Yeah. And in his case, that he is switched on and he's here to play good footy. So I think now the best thing for Jordan to go is to go to another club.
Now, I want to talk about our mate Tommy Rockliffe.
We're not going down this path. Are you going to whack him, are you?
No.
What's happened?
He's on tomorrow.
The opposite. I think he's flying at the moment. Listen to that footy call on the weekend. Our boss, Matty O, was all over him. He was absolutely brilliant.
Greg has spooned as well before.
But I want to nominate him for an award. But before I get to that,
Accra, is it the radio awards?
Yeah. So we'll get to that. But what we need to do is just look back and a bit of a background on Rocky and where he's come from. All right. So we all know he's a battler, isn't he? He's a bit of a battler.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
he's a battler when he plays.
Because he's Victorian.
House and Trust.
That was a great start.
Didn't have many mates at school.
No. And he then, got picked on at school, I heard.
That's what we're told,
2009, he was drafted to the Brisbane Lions.
There you go,
And brilliant. Yep. Went up there, played some good football, was actually named captain of the Brisbane Lions for 2 years.
I don't think they had anyone else
they
after Jonathan Brown.
They were struggling for leaders.
Well, he was sacked. So 2 years, he was sacked.
As a captain?
As a captain.
Because his own teammates turned on him.
Well, I don't know. He's never
wanted him out. That's why he hasn't.
Greg, they wanted him out.
But then straight after that, not long after, he was escorted basically out of the club.
Yeah. I think they packed his bags for him.
I thought you were going to celebrate his life.
I just need to get just a little bit of background on Rocky. So he's asked to move on, and then he's picked up by Port Adelaide in 2018 and plays 54 games in 4 years.
He played some good footy.
Great recruit. Seriously, on big money.
Let him go.
How many is that?
He's played 54 games.
What kind of money was he on, do you know?
Very good. And it stuffed up their list, really. I mean, they had to
500
sort of
plus.
Shuffle things around.
Was it? Six burns.
Jeez.
But then,
that's what Greg said.
Like a few sporting people and that, he gets to the end of last season and he retires.
Bottomed
and
out.
He's got absolutely no
his
idea.
His chunky legs couldn't get him any
what
longer.
He's going to do with his life.
It didn't quite get to the end.
He had 45 touches for Port Maggies before he got injured at Alberton.
Yeah.
Those fat little legs just collapsed under him.
And then he hangs around. He doesn't even like Adelaide and he hangs here like a bad smell.
Yeah.
And he pleads with his club, Port Adelaide, for a coaching job.
Yep.
And guess what?
What happened?
They say no. Nick off. You've drained us. You've played 54 games in 4 years.
What
We've
would
had
he
enough.
Coach? How to like swim around in mud like a pig or something? He was nicknamed the pig.
Okay.
And then to Triple M Management's, they've seen the writing on the wall. And hats off, I reckon, to Triple M Management. They've seen him. He's going nowhere, so they offer him a lifeline.
Yeah.
All right. So he works Saturday mornings on Dead Set Legends, and he does a podcast. No one else knows what he does during the week.
No. He looks after his little kitties. He's a good father.
Oh, I've heard different.
And then part of that contract, which I don't necessarily agree with, he comes in every Thursday on our show.
He does.
Now, we would prefer to do it over the phone, but he insists on coming in.
He does.
And he wears the same thing every Thursday.
Yeah.
He's got his sneakers on.
Yeah.
He's got his baggy trackies on.
Hide his
and
legs.
He's got his white T-shirt on with orange burger ring stains all down the front of it. Just looking like, you know. But last week he came in, he had a fresh haircut.
He did.
Short
he
back
did.
And sides, which really highlighted the fluid retention in his face.
Greg.
But the point I want to get to is it was the Logies last weekend, the TV awards, but the ACRAs is coming up, which is the radio awards. All right? So I want to nominate Rocky for Best New Talent. Oh, here's why.
Brilliant.
Tommy, butchering the English language always. Tommy can't speak.
And to be able to do that is just it's blown away.
Yeah.
And the third one. Bull.
Oh, you can't even say that.
Tommy can't speak.
We know your influence was huge and you've stolen Jordan Dawson.
But Dawson Rock, yeah.
Dawson. We all get the listeners in on our show and then you just continue them on for the rub.
That's Do you say use?
After us.
That's
yeah,
use.
Yeah, you said use.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the worst grammar you can ever use.
Power to Luke. Come on. The
true
Port Adelaide
aggression. Phenomenal.
Tommy can't speak.
Tennis news today. Novak Djokovic, he's gone down, so he'll lose his number one ranking. He lost to Jerry Vesely.
Yes.
6-4, 7-6. US champion Danny Medvedev will take the number one ranking spot.
I like it.
It's going to be Medvedev, was it?
Yeah.
Welcome to week one. At the moment, it's called the Rock and Raz Show. We're here discussing all things Port Adelaide. My name's Tom Rockcliffe. Oh, I'm very well, thank you. We want to make sure that this podcast interacts with the fans. It's not about me and Raz. I'm back at the football club. They need me back.
No, I'm not happy with that. Someone stitched me up. I wanted his good stuff. So I don't know what's happened there.
You wanted the good stuff, did you?
I wanted his good
stuff. I'm not sure whether there is any.
We're about to give away $1,000. Jars has written the questions, and I reckon it's going to go off the Rush Hour's $1,000 minute.
Jars 60 can't write.
60 seconds, 10 questions. If you reckon you got what it takes, 133353 is the number to call. And just for having a go, we're going to give you a Fusta Pasta voucher for $100. All your favourites, all delicious, nice. And all in one place.
That's
Fusta
me.
Fusta Pasta.
Jars can't write. Well, you can't read. What have you got, Greg?
I can't
shout
read
out
your writing. I know that.
Yeah, a couple of happy birthdays, Jazz. Oh, hello. Harry Stephanopoulos is 18.
Harry,
welcome to the big time.
Is he the cousin of Freddie down his stairs at Cadetto's?
I'm not sure. I thought it was his son's best mate.
He's a good looking rooster too,
yeah,
Harry.
He had a nice big smile on.
Good
and
boy. Who else?
Mate of mine, Nick Howard, who's 50 yesterday.
Nicky. Well, was it 50 Club?
Or Howie, not Nicky. Howie.
Well, I'll call him Nicky. Byrne, you got some text messages about George DeGoey.
Yes, there is a couple here. DeGoey, he's done nothing wrong. Well, that's arguable. There's done nothing wrong. Stop with giving him a hard time. He's got nothing to apologise for. Well, I think he has. That's from Tommy. Why carry on? They were both enjoying themselves. He's talking about DeGoey and the female. The real problem is the people that record it and put it all over the internet.
They're vermin.
Well, it was the girl's friend.
I don't care.
And it was just putting up on social media, having a good time.
Jordan must tell them all,
either.
No videoing. Phones away. Turn your bloody phone off.
He needs to get smarter.
That's true.
Another one here from Kurt. I was in the last segment. Yeah. I was waiting for the soundtrack for the Neverending Story to start with Bluey's story. It kept going and going and going and going. This smells like Callum Ferguson.
Yeah. Oh no, Greg!
Was that a Fergie story?
There was a lot to get through. It did go on.
Just had to give a bit of background on our poor old battler Rocky.
Did you actually finish?
Did it? Is it still going?
Well, I don't know. Kurt's saying, is it finished yet? I'll turn back on.
Jeez, you did go on and on.
This smells like Callum Ferguson. I'm going to check the number.
he wears plugs.
60 seconds on the clock. $1,000 up for grabs. 10 questions stand between you and the cash.
I need more cash.
It's the Rush Hour's $1,000 minute. Stuck in traffic?
Take a look at your service sticker on your windscreen.
If it's overdue,
call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
G'day, Brad from Mobry. Welcome.
How you going, boys?
Yes.
Good, Braddles.
Good, Brad.
What about your football side? Which one is it?
Port Adelaide Power.
Good boy.
Good game on the weekend.
Yeah, up and about.
Yeah, best game of the year, so I just got to keep it going.
Yep. All right, mate. Well,
I can see a lot of mistakes in these questions.
Yeah.
Now,
the Jars edition.
Can I just say, I'm just going to read out the questions, and that's the only thing I've got to do with this.
Word for word. I don't want to put my name to it. I'm anonymous reading this.
Right, Brad. I've had to do the questions because our producer, Ben, the German lips, Erlum, whatever he's called, he's crook.
Okay.
So I've taken over the responsibilities as the CIC of this juggernaut. So there's 10 questions, there's 60 seconds. Say pass if you don't know, young man.
Okay. Any clues today or no?
The times table G gave away.
Emma G gave away an early clue, which was uncalled for.
Usually
that one anyway.
It's a sports quiz, Jars, but you've got at least three questions.
What about
in there
question
that are
10?
Not sports.
Question
questions.
5, Greg, was what?
6 times 6.
Yeah,
six.
Yeah.
All right,
so there you
it's
go, Brad from Mobry. Greg, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready? Let's play.
Okay.
What sport is best known as the king of sports?
What number does Crows small star James Rowe wear? Wears, sorry.
31.
True or false, did Tony Modra play at Fremantle?
True.
What is the most popular female sport in Australia?
False.
What is 6x6?
36.
Which sport does Carl Viet associated with?
Soccer.
What two colours mix together to make purple?
What?
It's a good one, Just.
Blue and green.
What year were women allowed into pubs?
Oh.
60s.
64.
Can you name the Crows CEO who sacked Bernie Vince?
Pass.
How many premierships did John Cahill win as a coach?
9.
What sport is best known as the king of sports?
That's not right.
What did he say then?
He said soccer.
Yeah, give it to him. Well, that's... well done, Brad. Well done. They were great questions.
They were no, terrible.
They weren't. They were brilliant questions.
What number does Crows small star James Rowe wears?
Yeah, like, 31.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yes, it does.
And what sport is best known as the king of sports?
Well, it's soccer.
Sport of what? Kings,
it's
isn't
the
it?
Sport
no,
of kings.
No, it's not.
Racing.
And I didn't type this out. What did he get, G?
And I'm gonna give him a half mark for two questions because he
well,
got,
what do you mean
he
a half mark?
The two colours mixed together to make purple. He got one of his answers right.
No, yeah, but if you no, you can't give away
all
half
right,
marks.
I'm trying to be generous.
No, well, no, I'm not generous today.
All right.
We'll give him a half.
One, two, three, four, five. Correct.
Five, oh,
you say that after she's pressed the counter.
Great effort, Brad. Idiot. We're gonna give you a faster pasta voucher for $100.
Thank you.
Well done, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Well played. Well played.
Crows, Ross. Star, James
number four,
Wears.
Please, Byrne.
Number four is yep. netball, the
yes,
most
it
popular
is.
Female sport.
Yes, it is. The girls there. Number seven, please, Greg.
Two colours to make purple, blue and red.
Yeah. Mm. He said blue and green.
Mm. Blue and green you just make brown.
Now, Byrne, number eight.
1965,
yes.
Women were allowed
into
pubs
in Australia.
That's outrageous. That's not that
I'm
long
with
ago.
You, G.
No.
Wow. I was born in 66.
But who would know that? You know, just off
well, Brad cup. Should have known that.
I was going to give him a half mark for that okay. one, too.
And number 10, please, Byrne.
Or well, number nine.
Did the CEO we sacked, Bernie?
Yeah.
Triggy.
Stephen Trigg.
Stephen Trigg.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten over that or not? Or you
well,
let
he
it go?
Didn't technically sack me, but.
Well, who did that?
He was there.
Well, who sacked you?
Well, the club.
But he's part
Sando
of it.
Sando didn't want me.
Brenton Sanderson.
But I heard Triggy stuck up for him for about 10 times.
Yeah, I've heard that. And your dad wanted to knock his block off.
The 11th time he gave up.
Number 10, please, Boom.
How many premierships did John Cale win as coach? 10.
Oh, superstar.
10.
10
he
premierships.
He said 9. Pretty good.
Yeah. Well done. There you go. That was a fantastic quiz. Probably one of the best ones we've done this year, Gene.
Terribly poorly
Five.
Written. Plenty coming through. Keep texting us because I love these. Our first one for you, Blue. Scotty from Klemzig. Catherine has to stop letting Greg read the kids a short story before bed. He starts at 7 p.m., finishes at 2 a.m., and the kids can't concentrate the next day. Oh, my God. She's gone again with it.
Have I turned into Ferg?
Oh, I think you might have. Here's one for Jazz. Sport of Kings is horse racing.
Yeah.
And sport
no, it's
of,
not.
And
yes,
you've
it is.
No, hang on, but you wrote the king of sports.
Yeah.
You even got that
no,
wrong.
No, that was Tommy, our producer,
you
stuck
got,
that up.
You got the question wrong and the answer wrong, no. So I'm not sure where you're going to go
who
with that.
Who sent that text?
No name, but I've got the number here if you want it.
What are you eating? Don't put a minty in your mouth just before we turn the mic.
Another one here from Tim. That was awful, Jarman. Give the poor bloke $1,000 for having to be involved with that crap.
Yeah, good on you, Tim.
Keep it to sports, you flog. It's a sports quiz.
No, I wanted to change it up, you flog.
Oh, no, I like
appreciate
that.
The diverse
good on you,
questions.
Thanks,
you have always
Matthew,
said, though,
what?
Keep it sport.
Matthew, so bad I wanted to drive off the road. Terrible question.
Pity you
careful.
Didn't, Matty.
No,
into a bin.
Oh, Joe.
Into a bin.
Yeah, hey, it might have been my bin. It's gone missing.
Yeah, which missing?
The worst quiz questions ever.
Oh, here we go.
Jars should stick to what he does
and
best.
And what's that?
When we can work, when we can work that out.
Who said that?
That's great. When we can work out what that is.
Who said that?
I don't know. That's very
give
good.
Give me all
we
their numbers.
Nah,
give me all their mobiles and I'll give them a ring.
Sport of Kings is horse racing,
no,
mate.
No, it's not.
And it's not the king of sports, you idiot.
You numbskull.
You need help.
Plenty
is
of
there?
Feedback for Jars.
Is there now?
Yeah, there is. soccer. Soccer is the world game, Jars.
Yeah, I understand
not
that.
Not the
no,
sport of kings or king of sports or whatever the hell you wrote. Mm. Another one here from Peter.
Pete.
It's bloody hard enough to get through to get on the quiz. Then Jarman dishes up those shite questions. Pull your head in, Jars. It's not all about you. Pete from Plimpton.
Come on, Pete.
That's a great point.
Go. Pete,
poor
come
Brad.
On, mate.
Anyway,
we
need to get
effort.
Brad back on.
We do need to get him anyway. Let's go to Jay Clark. We've got him on the line.
The Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars presents AFL Newsbreaker. Jay Clark.
LMAC Cleaning Services. Get clean behind the scene. Specialists in all industrial and commercial cleaning.
Oh, he joins us on this Wednesday. Good afternoon, Jay. How are you, mate?
Yes, hello, team. Nice to be with the number one ratings team again.
Stop it.
Did we tell him to mention that again?
Yeah, we're very humble in his building. Yeah. We're very humble. Now, let's get underway. Lots to get through. Latest on Jordan DeGoey. Where is it at, mate?
Yeah, it's been a massive story down here in Melbourne. And what I can tell you is that Jordan is really struggling with the situation at the moment. So He wasn't at training again today. Collingwood is hopeful that he could be at training on Friday, but the absolute reality here is that a superstar midfielder is battling with the fallout and the circumstances surrounding the Bali video and how that has jeopardised his career. So Collingwood is really trying to wrap its arms around him whilst in a sense disciplining him at the same time. But look, is he going to play this weekend? It looks really doubtful. When will he play again? I don't think you could say that. It's really unsure. So I think when he come back from Bali, initially we're all thinking he would just sort of slot back into training and slot back into club life. But the reality is, on a personal level, this has taken a pretty big toll. So the club is working with him, and hopefully in the next 48 hours he might return to the Pies as they were sort of expecting him to do. But he's been a no-show so far this week, boys.
What about Melbourne's Luke Jackson, Jay-Z, one of my favourites, looks like an absolute beauty. What's going on with his future?
Yeah, so he's really weighing up a massive offer from Fremantle. It's not $10.5 million as was reported this weekend, but it's still a blockbuster deal to try and prize him out of Melbourne back home to WA. So both teams, West Coast and Fremantle, are both into Luke Jackson. Fremantle, the most likely landing spot at this stage. They are in a premiership window. He is a Fremantle boy, so that's the natural fit. And the Dockers absolutely love him. There's no doubt about that. But what is the price you pay for a versatile tall like Luke Jackson and the premiership swingman we know? He was influential in that grand final.
Two first-round picks, surely.
Well, currently, Fremantle, if they finish top four, that gives them, say, pick 15, pick 16. Right? That's not going to be enough. So you're right. So it has to be that and at least a future first-round pick tied to Fremantle, which is, again, going to be very low. Mm. So Melbourne is in this situation now where it has to start planning for what the likely scenarios are going to be. And as you say, if there's going to be one late first-round pick, then it has to be two first-round picks. And then they move on to the future of Rory Lobb. So if Luke Jackson goes out, is Rory Lobb someone who tried to get out last year to GWS? Does Rory Lobb help fill that void for the Demons in the short term in place of Luke Jackson? So that's the sort of scenarios that Melbourne are walking through at the moment. Obviously, they're saying publicly they're confident of keeping him. Luke Jackson will stay, and they're in the premiership window, etc. Max gone out, he does take over the number one ruck mantle, but there is some interesting manoeuvring behind the scenes. Burn, if you had to spend 5 minutes with Luke Jackson, what would you be saying to him on his future? What would be the advice?
No, I'd be staying at Melbourne. I'd sign a short-term deal, a two-year deal on pretty big money, and then reassess there. I think Melbourne are right in the window. Fremantle on the improve, but I reckon more chance. It could be a 2-3-time premiership player if things go right at Melbourne, and then I'd look to possibly go home and cash in, but only young, only been at the club a few years. Hey, Lockie Neal.
Sean Darcy too, Bernie, is the number one ruck there. So
true.
It's not like he walks straight into the ruck spot because that's Darcy's. He would have to play largely key forward at Fremantle, you'd think.
Yep, exactly. Lockie Neal, now don't tell me he's on the move again, my boy.
No, well, he was interested in a move back to Fremantle last year. I think you'll find he'll be staying at Brisbane and extending there, potentially an announcement not too far away. Good. But Dockers fans can put a line through that one. He won't be coming west.
Ben Cunnington's been through the ringer, Jay-Z. Have you got hopefully some good news with him?
Yeah, Blue, this could be one of the good news stories of the year. We know a lot about Sam Doherty and everything he's done so wonderfully well on the football field, but Ben Cunnington has started to ramp up his training as well, and a return could be on the cards in the second half of the season. In fact, you know, potentially 4 weeks away or 4 to 6 weeks away. So he started doing some drill work there at North Melbourne at Arden Street. All the Kangaroos, obviously, so happy to see him back. But it would be a fantastic sight to see Ben Cunnington back on the field.
A couple of Brownlow medalists missing last week. Dusty and Dangerfield been out for a couple, actually. Are they back this week?
Yeah, Danger's been ramping up his training. He'll come back to the Cats, be a huge boost. Of course, he missed the trip west as he sort of built up his fitness and got that calf right. They want him to be explosive in the midfield as he has been throughout the bulk of his career. And Dusty, expected to come back, but I just want to, there's a little asterisk on this one. He was ill last week, so wasn't playing for Richmond. Damien Hardwick said, look, even if he's at 60%, then that's you know, better than nothing sort of thing. We'll still take Dusty at 60%. But the talk about him going to Sydney in Melbourne still won't go away. So I know the Tigers have flat batted it, you know, so many times over the past few months, but just persistent rumours that Dustin could be open to that move, Sydney into head north. So I just don't put a line through that one, boys.
Great reporting, Jay. Have a good rest of the week, and we'll hear you on Saturday morning on Dead Set Legends.
Good on you, team.
Take care. Jay Clark there for the Rush Hour.
All thanks to LMAC Cleaning Services. Get clean behind the scenes. Specialists in all industrial and commercial cleaning.
Two Sandfall junior football matches were called off this season over shocking behaviour by some spectators hurling abuse at junior umpires. Let's go to the head of football operations, Sean Toohey, joins us on this Wednesday. Good afternoon, Sean, and thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Bloody disgusting behaviour towards junior umpires this season. The last two games were cancelled. You must be disgusted. And what the hell happened?
Yeah, you summed it up how we feel there, Jars. Very... well, disgusted, it's putting it lightly. Effectively, you know, what we've seen happen is parents and or spectators who feel they've got a God-given right to just take out their frustrations on a game of football involving kids on the umpires, who are in most instances kids themselves and developing their craft as umpires. And, you know, we have a system where, you know, if you're referring to the two games that were called off, we have a system where a blue card is issued for a first offence with crowd abuse, and when that blue card is issued and that umpire is told to stick that blue card where the sun don't shine, the second blue card comes out, and that parent's responsible for, you know, 30 kids not being able to finish their game of football.
But the kids are the ones that suffer in the end. The parents that are actually hurling the abuse, they just go, oh, well, it's not our fault. The kids are the ones that actually miss out on playing.
Yeah, exactly. Spot on.
Hey, Sean.
I'd love to get that parent on so you can ask him.
Can you give us his name? Or we'll get the clown on.
I wish I had it.
Hey, Sean. Those two games over the weekend. So I don't expect you to name those teams. But what age groups are we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking younger age groups in boys and girls. So we're talking, you know, 13-year-olds and younger.
No.
One of them was an under 13s girls game of football.
Honestly. Wowee.
And so let that marinate.
I read in the article that 80% of these umpires are kids themselves. So, I mean, they're hurling abuse at kids only just older than what the kids are that are playing.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, quite often the umpires' parents are standing next to the parents that are abusing their kids, you know, in the crowd, and they're there supporting them, driving them to games and making sure we have games that their kids can participate in. You know, we have 350 games a week in Sandfall Juniors and over 500 umpire appointments.
Yeah.
And quite often the kids that are umpiring are playing the same weekend.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, they're earning a bit of pocket money but also learning more about the game from a different perspective themselves, and they're copying this. And it's really disappointing and something that, you know, we all have to take responsibility for as an industry. And we're, you know, putting a number of measures in place, ongoing, as we have been for the last number of years, to try and address it. But unfortunately, every year it seems to rear its head.
So, Sean, after the AFL's clamped down on player behaviour towards umpires this season, you're not seeing any form of improvement this season?
Look, overall, player behaviour towards umpires is pretty good. I mean, it's very good in our state leagues, if you speak to our head of umpiring. In our juniors, it's probably reflective of the behaviour of the parents at the game on that day, or the coaches. So, you know, from our perspective, we feel that coaches of teams drive the culture of that team environment.
Yeah.
And it rubs off on the parents and the players. So if you've got a really calm and measured coach who gets it and knows the right way to communicate with people, then generally their players and the parents around them are the same. If you've got an aggressive coach who feels a need to call out every decision an umpire makes and can be quite aggressive in his manner, quite often there's parents, not all of them, but parents within that group and players who mirror that behaviour.
Yeah, Sean. So I'm sure we just hear about the negatives, but there'd be plenty of positive stories too. What sort of percentage are we talking about, you know, having these sort of issues on weekends?
Oh, so as I mentioned, you know, we have 350 games a weekend in Sandfall Juniors. You know, we had mid-20s yellow cards on the weekend, and that's a really high number.
That's to players, the yellow cards?
That's players,
Yep.
So we had the two blue cards,
yep.
And then we didn't have any reds. We had So we had five reds and 20-something yellow cards, and that's a really high number, but it costs 350 games.
Yeah, that's not
That gives you a bit of context of what a high number is.
Yep.
Leading up until the bye weekend over the long weekend, you know, it was much lower than that consistently. So, you know, it had been really good. It just people had the week off and came back a bit aggressive in a couple of games. And, you know, it's the vocal minority that sort of attract the attention here. And it does have an impact on our umpire numbers and kids who want to get into that craft.
Chatting with the head of football operations from the Sample, Sean Toohey. What's your message to the parents moving forward when they're going to watch their little loved ones playing football? What's your message, mate?
Look, if you're there supporting your child playing the game and you do that in a really positive manner, do it the same as with the umpires as if they were your children as well. Mm. So just think about the parents who are next to you watching their kids umpire the game and how they might feel about seeing their child copying that abuse. So at the end of the day, you know, we don't want games being called off. We want the kids enjoying it and growing up with it the way we did. So fingers crossed that can start to happen again.
And Sean, you'll throw the book at these two respective clubs whose games were cancelled because of the behaviour of the spectators, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good
individuals
stuff.
And clubs involved are dealt with from a disciplinary process.
Good on you, mate. Keep up the good work.
Thanks,
Sean.
Mate.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, team. Have a good one.
Good on you, mate. 133353.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Have you witnessed it?
Yep.
What should we do?
Yeah.
Where do we go with it?
Because Sean can't be at every game. There's 350 games on a weekend, and even the people working at the Sample can't.
A 15-year-old lad umpiring a game.
13-year-old?
Umpiring a game and getting abused.
God, that's just...
Please.
That's low. Very low.
One or two gutless people.
I don't get it, Jazz. I take my dog for a walk to my local oval on Sundays, and they've got the juniors playing there.
And
I'm looking, often look at the umpires, and I'm like, good on you. Good on you for being out there.
Well done.
Because without them, you don't play.
Absolutely. Have you seen it? Have you witnessed it? What should we do about it? Let's go to the phones, family. Anonymous joins us. Good afternoon, Anonymous. Welcome.
Good afternoon, guys. How are we?
What's your poor experience or bad experience?
So I'm a former umpire. I left the sport on the basis of the abuse I was copping. And it was majority coming from the parents. I now referee a different code, and unfortunately it's the same in that code as well, where a majority of the parents are paying thousands of dollars for their kids to play the sport, thinking they're going to be the next big thing. And when the reality starts hitting, I think that's where the parents start getting aggressive. But I've noticed since lockdown has lifted, their ability to be social and be in a social setting has dramatically reduced as well.
Wow, interesting.
Mm.
So
I'm not surprised.
At the time when you were umpiring and getting this abuse from the parents or the crowd or whatever, did you feel like you could control the situation at all?
To an extent, but there are some where you can just tell the flashpoint has risen too high. I've had people having to escort me to my change rooms. And we've had an instance where police are called and people are having to be escorted out. So it is quite a dramatic circumstance, especially we have a lot of youth coming in at the moment dealing with the same situation. And I'm sorry, but it's a game. These people are there to make sure that they're volunteering their time to ensure that these people and these kids can play the game. And if there's none of these officials doing the match officiating, then you're not going to have the game. So people need to start making a choice. They're going to act like an actual adults, or are they going to continue on behaving in this behaviour?
And quickly, can you just tell us what age group you're umpiring?
I was umpiring anything from under 12s all the way up to seniors, and I'm doing the same at the moment with my new code.
Thanks very much.
I apologise, mate. I really apologise on behalf of our code.
I'm
really
in shock
do.
A bit.
I'm sick of
parents
it.
Parents think they're bigger than the game, don't they? It annoys me. Anyway, let's go to Tony from Athelstan. Tony, what's your experience with umpiring?
Oh, I just want to say mine was a positive experience. My son, and I'd love to name the clubs if that's okay, because they're both it was a Salisbury North versus a Paraka game about 10 years ago, and the umpiring director got both kids and all the parents up and said, this is how it is, we've got new kids coaching, and they were absolutely awesome. So to both, there was a big shout out to both those two clubs, because it made it a good experience for my lad.
Well, that's good.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks. That's what it's about.
Story
make
too.
It a good experience.
There's a thousand positives to the one negative always, but the negative stands out. So there is some good stories out there too. So I like hearing that as well.
Pull your heads in.
Yeah,
Just support. Have fun. Smile.
Let the kids win, lose, play. Or draw. Who cares?
Two games cancelled because of the parent.
Yeah.
God, I'd love to get them on.
Yeah. Where?
On this show.
Oh, I thought you meant like
the dingbats. But anyway, we've got to keep moving forward and keep talking about it.
That's exactly.
Just a little follow up from Sunday winery trip. Great day. We all had good time. And then there was just one incident. We did cover it very quickly the other day. I think it was on Monday. But we just need to revisit a certain incident that happened because David Koch was next door and he came in and you'd been very critical of Port Adelaide of late. And I was actually outside because I didn't see it. So I was confused. I didn't know what happened.
I was outside
in the playground and I came back in and everyone was getting into you, telling me what happened. You said it didn't happen. But we had an independent that listened to it and described it. The great James Brayshaw.
So, you know, I went to a winery on Sunday.
Oh, yes, Jim.
And was sitting with the Triple M Adelaide boys, actually.
Were you?
Jars was there. Bernard Jarzy. Vince was there. Bluey was there. They do our version of the show over there.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually interesting because I didn't know this because I don't hear the show. Apparently, Jars had given Port a nice heavy clip on the last the Friday show.
Before.
And then the game was obviously the next day.
Won.
Saying they're no good, they're going backwards. It actually got on the front foot and gave him a proper pasting.
Yes.
They won. David Koch wanders up.
Ooh. Oh, that's right. You said you saw him, yeah.
Is it anything else you want to say to me, Jars? Or, and you've what did never he do? Seen a man go to water quicker.
Oh, come on, Jars.
By the end of the conversation, Jars had him in the grand final. Like, it was just pathetic.
Come on,
I've never seen. He couldn't have run the other way faster.
That's Jimmy, true, and that is all true.
It's not true.
Jars, you were
like,
you go to water? It was like you had a little saucer of milk out, and you were like a little kitty cat, and you was like licking the milk next to Koshy going.
He had me in a headlock. I couldn't eyeball
like
him.
A little kitty cat. So, well, you would have been tougher if I was there with you? Or?
No, well, you disappeared. He was after you as well.
What do you mean disappeared? Harvey was on the playground.
That's good, but I was looking for you, and you sat there, did nothing. You and Jimmy drinking your buddy 10 bottles of red.
Well, I'm quite positive about his footy team.
He gave me a point on the way out.
What did he say to you?
Yeah, he just said, and you, and I was like, what's going on here?
Well, if I recall,
was David an aggressive point?
Well, I was pretty aggressive.
I'm really shattered with Jimmy.
He pushed my face.
Mr. Jimmy Brayshaw. I've loved his cricket, and I've supported him. He's our captain of the rush hour around the country. And old Fat Guts Billy just sat there and said nothing.
He did nothing.
Thought he was a mate.
But what I did is I did some research, Jars. So I was like, well, Jars hasn't been that critical,
Thanks,
has he?
Burn.
So I went back to our selections
Thank you, buddy.
For the weekend.
There you go.
And just said, so you tip for the weekend.
Oh, yes.
I mean, with all those outs,
it's not looking great for Port. But these are the games you never want to win.
They're
at home, in front of a home crowd. So, and
I think Port
is
a close one.
I reckon could be an upset.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
We both said that they were going to win.
There you go, Koshy.
So have that, Koshy. Some of that, Koshy. Another text coming through. We spoke about before umpiring and abuse on umpires at junior footy.
Yep.
Text here from Chris. Pull your heads in, parents. I played school and club 20 years ago and there was bugger all the bullocks. We just had fun, played footy, and there was the odd parents who would go off but usually had a good reason to. But basically pull your heads
in. Well said, Chris. Mm. It's about banter.
It's banter. A little bit of banter back
and
forth.
Just encourage.
Encourage and have some banter. But don't get personal.
Everyone wants to fight after one little thing said about
them. It's disgusting. It really is disgusting. We've got to grow up.
Mm.
Yeah, it's about the kids. It's not about us.
Actually, I found another one I want to read. This is from Phil.
Phil.
Jarman. He starts with Jarman.
Yeah. No worries, Phil.
Horse racing's been called the sport of kids ever since Noah beached the ark.
We all know it, but Jars.
Phil from Woodville Gardens.
If you've just joined us, Jars wrote the quiz questions today.
Yes, G.
And there's been a bit of controversy.
And G, you're on my side because you thought they were very good questions.
I liked the variety. They weren't all sport questions.
No, but it's also called the sport of kings, not the king of sports.
Sport is the king of sports.
I'll tell you what is the sport.
What a disgrace.
You two not being here anymore.
What a disgrace.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final facts.
Love these facts. And Hado, who does Brekkie, we miss Hado.
We do miss him.
He did the intro of your little segment.
I'm going to keep that because we need him on our show.
Yeah.
He's
KG.
22nd of June today, World Rainforest Day today.
Lovely.
So yes. Appreciate. And we're knocking too many of them down, by the way.
Well, we got to stop.
We do. One birthday I'm going to mention. I'll come back to another birthday in a minute. 1949, Meryl Streep.
Oh, she's great.
She's one of the greatest actresses I've ever seen.
Very good. Meryl. Meryl, she's brilliant. Any other Meryls? Is a question?
No.
I don't. That was just a question.
That's a good question.
Notice.
I don't actually.
On this day, a few things. 1955, Disney's classic movie, Lady and the Tramp, was released.
I love that one.
Remember they redid
Look
it?
Look at
well?
You, Jude.
I love Lady and the Tramp. That's the scene where they suck cartoon. On the spaghetti and then they kiss.
And then they kiss, they smack one on each other. Hey, on this day, 1963, Stevie Wonder released his first ever single called Fingertips at age 13.
13?
Yep, 13.
Oh, is there any you love his music?
Does Triple M play Stevie Wonder?
Yeah, we play some Stevie Wonder.
Greg, what were you trying to impersonate him before here?
You won't.
What would you say that is? Is that jazz?
Yeah, jazz.
Jazz.
Yeah.
Hey, you won't like this, but in 1990, on
yes,
this
Boone.
Day,
yes,
the
Boone.
State of Florida banned thong bikinis.
Get
at
out.
Some state parks.
Get
Why?
Because I know you love to wear thongs in state parks.
Greg, you're shattered.
And we like to look at thongs.
But
as well.
Greg, Greg, your little wardrobe undies, buddy, draw.
Because you're
you'd
a
be struggling.
Thong wearer in state parks.
No,
I knew that would affect.
Old Lululemon shorts, but old dove lips here, Gregory Blewett.
If you go to the beach now, that's all the young ladies wear.
So I spoke
thongs.
To some of your cricket mates, and they said that when you played cricket, you wore a white thong.
Listen to me. Matthew
white
Hayden,
thong.
Big, tough Matthew Hayden, for a season
Be
there,
careful.
Wore a thong.
Get
he fielded,
out.
He fielded
no,
in a
no,
thong.
No, I can't have that.
Yep. Whatever well, does saying. It for you, Blues.
Jeepers.
Got that, actually a couple of little footy
yes.
facts here, but
yes,
I might
boom.
Save them for tomorrow because right, I'm running boom. Out of a bit of
you
time.
You are.
I want to just go back to a birthday. Really good friend of mine. 1953, the great Cindy Lauper.
Good friend. Oh,
this is the new music Triple M to go with.
Wanna have fun.
See
fun.
It.
Keep going. Turn it up a bit.
Wanna have fun.
The only bit they don't say fun, you said it.
Hey, Chunkhead, it's Cindy, not Sydney.
I said Cindy.
You said Sydney Lauper.
Cindy Lauper.
That's it. Cindy.
Oh,
now he's just ruined the whole mood. So. You know, I'll just go.
Oh, go on, off you go.
Yeah,
burn in a thong.
Yeah, stay parked.